Let's pray. The lion has roared, who will not fear? God has spoken, who will not prophesy? God, we come again to these times and this text, asking that you bless the people who hear and the preacher who speaks, that the word that comes forth is indeed a word speaking from heaven. Bless now the gathered here. May this word resound to your glory. I pray it in the matchless name of Jesus and in the name of all that's holy. Amen. I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ, whom I serve out of a glad heart. I'm really glad to see all of you, those that I can see. And I'm thankful for the privilege that I have been given to speak this word to the class of 2013 and those of you who care about them. This morning, I want to spend a little time on this topic, before and beyond. In full disclosure, I want you to know this sermon is about me, and it's also about Professor Annabel Prophet, Nick Peterson, Lance Mullins, Diana McCullough, John Folk, Colleen Foley, Celeste Brooks. It's about a word that came, a whisper, a sound that shook the foundations of my heart, of our hearts, and the hearts of anyone that showed up at a seminary believing they were called. Even if we, the person, couldn't articulate the language of that whisper, if they, like me, or even if they, like me, grew up in a tradition rich with the language of call, the ability to know what you're hearing, this homily is about us who dare to say, the word of the Lord came to me saying. It is the word that shook the hearts of the class of 2013 sitting before me and all of those of you who nodded in agreement or not. About that shaking, about that quaking, that uprooting, that overthrowing of their childhood dreams, of the destroying of our notions of who we were going to be, of what our world was going to look like, the pulling down of our earthly ambitions, whatever they were. I wanted to be a Pulitzer Prize winning poet. Maybe there's still time. Maybe. But I keep following a sound, a rumbling. As I said, this sermon is about me, but it's also about Professor Ann Thayer, and Dean Millott, and Emerson Cottrell, and Jenny Heimer, and Mindy Noelt, and Earl Singleton, Tommy Bustead, Sarah Nair, and everybody's name I don't call. The great mystic of the church and the venerable ancestor, Howard Thurman, in his baccalaureate address to the women at Spelman College in 1980, said this: "There is in you something that waits and listens for the sound of the genuine in yourself. Nobody like you has ever been born, and no one like you will ever be born again. You are the only one. And if you miss the sound of the genuine in you, you will be a cripple all the rest of your life because you will never be able to get a scent of who you are." He continued and said, "So, what's in your name? What is your name? Who are you? And can you find a way to hear the sound of the genuine in yourself? There are so many noises going on inside of you, so many echoes of all sorts, so many internalizing of the rumble and the traffic, the confusions, the disorders by which our environment is peopled, that I wonder if you can get still enough, not quiet enough, still enough to hear rumbling up from your unique and essential idiom, the sound of the genuine in you. I don't know if you can, he said, but that is your assignment. I couldn't say it any better than Dr. Thurman. Can you find a way to hear the sound of the genuine in yourself? It's been a riotous few years, has it not? 3 or 4 or 7, or more if you're on the extended plan. And getting still is hard to do when there are papers due and exams to take in the midst of babies and jobs and spouses and, you know. But before you were ever born, God's eye turned toward you. Or as my dad would say, before you were even a twinkle in your daddy's eye, God's eyes were there, seeing the genuine you, the uniquely one-of-a-kind you, and calling, whispering, maybe even thundering into you, your existence. And in that before, that call was particular. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you, I appointed you a prophet to nations. Before any exam, before any tragedy, before any joy, before the history of our days, and in them, long before we decided, God whispered. God knew us intimately. God consecrated. It relieves some of the pressure to go out and perform, does it not? The goal under this great before is only to listen and to pursue it, not to, in the words of Jean-Luc Picard, make it so. None of this has been a breeze. None of it is a breeze. None of it is easy. It requires some destruction. It has required some destruction, some demolition of who we thought we were, of what we thought we knew, who we were in order to find the genuine inside of ourselves, the genuine underneath the layers of fear, of expectation, of traditions, of even religiosity. It required some weeding through, some plucking up the profane, the unconsecrated folds molded into the stuff and the seams of our lives. It has not been easy. But like Jeremiah's call, our call came in history. It may have been mystical, but it was not mythical. It came and it continues to come for particular reasons and in particular places and in particular times and for particular people. Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, a priest in the region of Benjamin, was called in the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, son of Ammon, king of Judah, through the reign of Jehoiakim, Josiah's son, down to the 5th month of the 11th year of Zedekiah, son of Josiah, when the people of Jerusalem went into exile. Whew. The details. But the point is this: calls come in history. When real angst and storm are in full effect, when people are hurting or lost or wounded or in exile, when governments are in flux or in danger of overthrow, when political gaming threatens the stability of nations and peoples, we are called. Calls come in time, in real time. You have come in real time. Before you knew what this moment would be, before you knew who would be president of the nation or the seminary, before you knew the economic landscape or the conditions of the world or the church, to which we commend you, before all of that, you answered. We answered. Jeremiah would probably quake with you in this moment. He, like some of us, tried to get out of it. He said, I don't know how to speak. I am only a boy. I don't know what excuses you offered up to the pull, the tug, the voice that propelled you into preparation, but I pretty much explained to God that I had plans, big plans, and they did not include becoming a preacher like my father or a teacher like my mother. And honestly, I was afraid, and I knew I was ill-equipped for the enormity of the quaking that I felt in my soul. Do not say, I am only a child. For you will go to all to whom I send you, and you will speak whatever I command you, and I am with you to deliver you, says God. You will go. You will speak. I am with you. Beyond the first whisper, beyond the sense of being unprepared, beyond my own sense of being too young, too female, too black, too tomboyish, too, pick your own too. There was another whisper. You will go. You will speak. I am with you. In 1977, when I first said yes to the assurance, this was my call text. It was the words beyond the call that propelled me forward. It was the words beyond the enormity of the whisper, the words beyond the plucking me up from my original plans, the words beyond the pulling me away from family and friends, from a certain kind of ambition, from a dream unconnected to God's dream. It was the words, I am with you. Those words began to shape me into a minister of word and into a sacramental life. A life of study, of prayer, of activism, of hope. These words, I am with you, began to propel me forward to how God would build me and would rebuild me, plant me and replant me, would shape me into a prophet, sometimes willing, sometimes not. It is not easy to be prophetic. Jeremiah would one day say to God, I don't like you. This call, I said I would shut up, but it is like fire that burns in my bones and I cannot contain it. It is not easy to be prophetic, to, in our language, speak truth to power. It is not easy to follow this voice, this whisper, this thundering. But these words, I am with you, can take us beyond our disappointments that are sure to come, beyond the fear of rejection, beyond being misunderstood, misquoted, of being left alone. These words, I am with you. These are the words I leave with you today. I could recount to you all the ills of the world you will face, in the church, in the world, among your people, your kin, your enemies, the ones you will face and continue to face as ministers. I could tell you that there will always be people who will doubt or question your call or your motives. I could. But I promise you, you will find that out soon enough. I leave you with the hand of God that touches you as it touched Jeremiah's lips so long ago. I leave you with the hand of God that leads you into your own part of history, to change it, to be change, to change. I leave you with the hand of God that leads you beyond this moment into days, weeks, years of plucking up and planting, of destroying and rebuilding, of pulling down and recreating, of overthrowing and reordering. Before you came here to Lancaster Seminary, before you were even born, you heard a whisper, the voice of God calling you. as you leave, that voice is now also God's hand that pushes you beyond these walls into the wide grace of God's work before you. May you be genuinely you. May you hear the sound and may it propel you. May you find your own historical place in this work. God's history, God's work. Feel the divine hand on your mouth, on your heart, on your plans, and trust those hands to lead you onward. May it be so.